Haddon Robinson, who is perhaps one of the greatest teachers of homiletics, which is the art of preaching, tells the story of a married woman in the Mideast who, in the Midwest, who decided that she was going to take a vacation all by herself from her husband. And so she planned a trip and she was going to fly into London. And then from London, she was going to go to Paris and then to Rome and then to Vienna and then come back home. Well, when she got to London, she called her husband back home and she said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm doing fine, but our cat Lucy died." The wife starts bawling her eyes out. And once she regains her composure, she says to her husband, "You're extremely insensitive. Why did I ever marry a guy like you? You have just no concern for my feelings." Well, the husband was taken back, and he replied, what should I have said? And she said, "Well, when I arrived here in London, you could have said, 'Lucy, the cat, is on the roof.' And then when I got to Paris, you could have said, 'Lucy, our cat, fell off the roof.' And then when I got to Rome, you could have said, 'Lucy's not doing well.' And then finally, when I arrived in Vienna, you could have said, 'Lucy died.' Well, never mind. How's mother doing?" And he said, "She's on the roof." The wife was frustrated with the timing of her husband. Timing is important, isn't it? It is important that we do the right thing at the right time. Not before, certainly not after. I'm here to remind us all that God's timing is perfect. You've heard me say, and I'll say it again because it's appropriate, that God is rarely early, never late, but he is always on time. The text that comes to us from Paul's letter to the church of Galatia that Lisa read for us says this, "And when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman." God's time. There was a set time that God had already pre-planned for the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus didn't just take place happenstance or simply by accident, but rather it had been in God's sovereign calendar even before the foundations of the world. God operates on a different time frame than you and I, and I know you've learned that by now. Because how many times have you found yourself in a situation where you're praying, you're seeking, you're asking, you expect God to act, you expect God to show up, you expect his answer to come, and it doesn't come, and you keep praying, and you keep thinking, and you keep trusting. But I'm here to tell you, God's timing, although it's not at all in sync with our timing, is always perfect. Now, if you stop and think about it, the conflict between our time and God's time. Humanly speaking, God took a long time in the birth of Jesus. Did you know that the very first promise of a Messiah, of a Savior, of a Redeemer to the human race was given to Adam and Eve way back in the garden? Indeed, it was. You can read that promise in the third chapter of Genesis. 2,000 years transpire. And now God speaks to Abraham. And he says to Abraham, I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to bless you and your seed. You're going to become a great nation. And from that great nation is going to come one who blesses the entire world. 2,000 years later, Jesus is born. So it looks like to you and me that God takes his good old time. And yet, here's the promise, is that he shows up and he does exactly what needs to be done at exact right time. It's called the set time. Did you hear it in the text? But when the set time, who said it? God did. And you can't alter it. You can't change it. No one could foul that up. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. But here's what I want you to know, that during those 4,000 plus years, when the world was waiting for Christmas, God was actively setting the table for this event to happen. He was at work. He was getting everything in place so that when Jesus was born, it would be precisely the time that he needed to be born. So let me share with you very quickly why this was the perfect time. It was the perfect time politically. Politically speaking, throughout the empire there, it was a perfect time because there was in place what was called the Pax Romana, which is the Roman peace. You see, at this particular time in history, there was a huge kingdom that was in control. It was the kingdom of Rome. And Rome had gone out and squelched all the battles and all the wars that was going on and conquered the peoples and with an iron hand controlled them. And there was peace throughout the land. From the entire Mediterranean world was under the control of the Roman Empire. It was also a perfect time politically because of the great roads that Rome had built. You've heard the old saying, every road leads to Rome. There's a lot of truth in that. We're still uncovering roads that were built during the Roman era throughout that part of the Mediterranean world. And why that was so perfect and complete is Rome had no idea when they were building those roads to connect people to one another, they were building a highway for the missionaries of God to take the good news of the birth of Jesus throughout the entire world. It was perfect from that standpoint. It was perfect politically because there was one common language that was spoken at that time throughout the entire Roman era. Alexander the Great, years before, had conquered the world or that part of the world and brought into the world Greek culture and with it Greek language. You could travel throughout the entire Mediterranean world and you could communicate, even though there were local dialects, you could communicate with one another because everyone spoke Greek. And in fact, what is the New Testament written in originally? It's written in Greek. And in fact, right before the birth of Christ, back in that middle section from Malachi to Matthew, 400 years there, during that period of time, the Old Testament was actually translated into Greek as well. And so communication was simple. It was easy. It was a perfect time politically. It was a perfect time economically. Poverty was rampant in the Roman Empire. We don't think that. If we read history, there were times when the Roman Empire was magnificent in all of its splendor. And it was very attractive. And people from the world wanted to come and see. But through the years, even though they appeared to be an empire of luxury and magnificence. Just below the surface, there was great unrest that was seething, and poverty was rampant. Listen to this. This will probably shock you. 2 out of every 3 men in Rome were slaves. They had either lost their income and had to sell themselves in order to survive, or they had been conquered by the Roman Empire and beaten into subjection. One of the greatest preachers of all time, his name is James Stewart. He's in heaven and has been there for a long, long time, but is a man who has influenced my own teaching and preaching greatly. He makes the following statement. Listen carefully. It talks about the economical situation at the time of the birth of Jesus. I quote, "The colossal extravagance of Herod the Great, the burden of taxation, both civil and religious, the growing overpopulation, which made it impossible for the land to provide enough food for its inhabitants, these things had precipitated a period of unexampled depression among the great bulk of the people. Life had grown care-ridden and full of worry. Anxiety for tomorrow was written deep upon men's faces and on their hearts. And all the world seemed tangled and gone wrong. It was then, at the blackest hour, that a voice of hope rang out in Galilee, and men's hearts sat up and listened, for the fullness of time had come." It was also a perfect time religiously. The hearts and the souls of the people at this particular time were empty. They had tried all the myriads of religion that once blossomed in Rome. And eventually then they became bored with it and untransformed by these gods. And so 2 strange things began to happen. 1 was other gods from the East were brought in. We call them the mystery religions, which picked attention for a while, but didn't satisfy the inner souls of these individuals. And the second thing that developed was emperor worship, where the one in charge of Rome was to be worshipped and to be bowed down to. It wasn't working. Warren Wiersbe says this: the old religions were dying. The old philosophies were empty and powerless to change lives. Strange new mystery religions from the East were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. And into this religious vacuum, Christ was born. And it was just the right time. God's gift is perfect. And the text says, what did he send? Who did he give? He gave his son. But when the set time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, which is the way you and I came into this world, which makes him a human thoroughly, completely, totally. But no father is mentioned here, which tells us not only was he human, but thoroughly, completely, totally divine. Born of a woman, without a father, born under the law, which meant the law of God, which the human race lives under and fails to uphold and to keep. He came and lived under that, and dotted every I and crossed every T in total, absolute obedience. Perfect. And his reason for sending his son, Paul goes on to tell us that he fulfilled his promise to Adam and Eve and to Abraham, because God always keeps his promises. And he sent him to do 2 things. I hope, or three things, excuse me. I hope you don't miss this. Number one, he sent him to redeem us. For we had fallen into sin. And he came to save us, redeem us. Remember that when the angel told Joseph to name the boy Jesus, he went on to say, because he will save his people from their sins. And so God sent his son to redeem us. Listen to this. God sent his son to adopt us. Did you know, as Christians, we're adopted? Adopted children are specially loved by parents because in many cases they couldn't have their own. And so they adopt and pour their love out. God has adopted us, pours his love out upon us. And not only that, here's the third thing. You ready? Hold on to your hats. He came to redeem us. He came to adopt us. He came to make us an heir. You're an heir of God. Everything that belongs to God belongs to Jesus. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Through the birth of that Christ child in the manger. Oh, God's timing. It's perfect, isn't it? Did you know, with this I close, did you know that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it was during the Passover season. The Passover season was celebrated annually as a reminder of the people being delivered from Egypt's slavery. And if you will remember the story back there, the account of history was that God told the people to take a lamb and slay it, kill the lamb, take the blood, and put the blood on the lintels of your doorposts outside. And then when the angel of death that was going to bring judgment to Egypt passed through, he would see the blood. And the lamb had become the substitute for the people, and they would be spared. And so every year, the nation of Israel celebrates the Passover as a reminder that God accepted a substitute on their behalf and saved them or redeemed them. And on the cross, when Jesus died there, he died the very hour they were slaughtering the Passover lambs. Why? Because he was the perfect lamb who had come to take away their sins forever. If you're struggling with something this morning and you're praying, and you're searching and you're begging God and it doesn't seem like anything's happening, take heart, my friend. I know you want out of it. I know you want to get through it. I know you want to get around it to the best of your ability. I know that. And I know it's not easy and it's difficult. Hold on. And when you can't hold on, know that he's holding on to you. And in God's perfect timing, he will come to you. I promise you. He will come to you. And when you look back on it, you'll say, I sure wish he would have come sooner, but he did come right in time. Because God's timing is perfect timing. Amen. Father, thank you for coming into our world at just the right time. And our world needs you now in a very special way. Oh God, release your love, your grace, your wisdom, your power into our world that's breaking up and is at great division. And so, God, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.